The Patriots, they really know how to pick them, man, let me tell you.
Straight up evil.
Leave the dog alone because the dog didn't do a damn thing, and now you're trying to feed him your bodily
Thou
fluid.
Thou shalt kill all of your
everybody's had a dog, fish, a tampon, out of the garbage. It ain't right
to Bible you, but you can pretend like you will. A dog.
Wow.
And the football, and
I got smacked with a football.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Straight Up Evil. My name is Jocelyn. I'm the brunette. We've got Katie. She's the redhead.
Hello.
And we have Carly. She's the blonde.
Hiya.
It's a Katie case, and Katie is talking about, I don't know, Benny, how long have you wanted to cover this case?
Oh my God, for so long. Yeah.
Long ass time.
And we have some listeners who've been patiently waiting as well for this case also.
That's right.
TikTok and Twitter, they've been wanting to hear it.
All right. Well, tonight, Katie is bringing us the case of Aaron Hernandez.
Aaron Joseph or Joseph Hernandez was born on November 6th of 1989. He was a Scorpio whose tarot card is Death, Benny. And it's also number 13 in the tarot deck. Keep that in mind for later, Benny's.
Well, I like 13.
He was born in Bristol, Connecticut. He was raised by his parents, Dennis Hernandez and Terry Valentine Hernandez, on Greystone Avenue. Apparently, the couple had a pretty rough and volatile relationship. They were married in 1986, and then they actually got divorced in 1991, and then they remarried again in 1996. It kind of gives you an idea already of the home. According to both Aaron and his brother, he had an older brother named Dennis Jonathan Jr., who was known as DJ. And according to him and Aaron, both, the house was abusive. One, because the parents were fighting all of the time, but mostly because of their dad. Their dad, Dennis, was very strict. He was obsessed with the boys being in sports, made them run drills constantly, all the time, would get drunk and beat them. He criticized them for the way that they stood, sat, ate, a lot of things like that. He would tell them not to stand a certain way. They would look gay, he would say. That was something that was used in the house a lot too, was like, you look gay, stop acting gay, you're being gay. So it was very much like hated and shunned in his house from a very early age.
This is giving me like huge Menendez vibes.
Hell yeah.
Also, the boys are both in football and a lot of sports at very young ages. Aaron Hernandez started playing football at the age of 8 years old. Aaron was also sexually molested as a child. They had a babysitter, and the babysitter had people in and out of the house a lot of the times. There was also apparently a 13-year-old boy that the babysitter had around often. I'm not sure if the babysitter was also babysitting that 13-year-old kid or if the kid was a relative and was just kind of like around the house. But Aaron was being sexually assaulted by this little boy, and the little boy was basically making Aaron have oral sex with him. And this started when Aaron was very young. He was six. He was age six. And this went on for a couple years with this same boy that was doing this to him.
And now we have this from DJ.
That's from the brother. Okay. Yes. That is a claim from the brother. And it is also a claim from one of his old childhood friends.
But Aaron Hernandez never
does not admit it.
This as any type no. of, okay. No, he never brought this up on his own.
Okay. No, he did not talk about these kinds of things. No. And yeah, again, that was another thing, like that him and his brother very much kept everything inside because that's how they were raised. They were raised to be in fear of their lives and in fear of anything pertaining to their lives because of their father, you know, while also still really admiring their father too, at the same time, because it was their dad.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You know? Aaron was coming to school with bruises, black eyes. So like the coaches and people at school knew also that he was being abused at home. But again, exactly like you said, Quinny, like he didn't mention this to people. He didn't talk about this with people. Both of his parents also had some run-ins with the law themselves, like while the boys were children. His dad got into some trouble and was actually in an incident where there was a gun found. Aaron Hernandez's father had been at the scene of the crime and like somehow managed to get out of it. Both of his parents actually also had run-ins with the law too while he was growing up. So these are just a lot of things that are giving you insight to what Aaron saw as a child and a lot of things that really, I feel, led to a lot of these things in the future.
Well, like, didn't their like neighbors and like the community know like you don't mess with the Hernandez family? Like you just don't get into
yes.
it? You know what I mean?
Yes, 100%. They all took Dennis very seriously and knew that he ran a strict, tight ship. But I will say, though, that he was still like well-respected overall because from an outside perspective, they saw him as strict, but they didn't see it as abusive.
Sure.
So nobody, the school did start to have an idea like that he was being abused, but they couldn't get Aaron to ever talk about it outright and say that it was ever his dad. And I think that people just, you know, people like to live in denial about yeah. things. They want to try to hide what might be revealed to them if they don't want to know the truth. In January of 2006, when Aaron was only 16 years old, his father passed away from complications during a hernia procedure. The death was completely unexpected. It was supposed to be just like a normal procedure that he was supposed to go in for. It was only supposed to be a few hours and there were complications and he lost his life. Aaron did not handle this well, according to friends from school, according to teachers, according to family, according to his mother, according to many people. Something definitely changed in him after his dad died. When you're raised a certain way by someone, you're taught to believe that it is the right way to be raised. And so yeah. you don't see it as wrong or harmful.
Right. How do you know that it's abuse?
Right.
If it's all that you know, if it's the way that you've always been treated, how right. do you know, like, if you haven't known anything else, how do you know that that's not normal?
After Dennis dies, Aaron's dad, he actually learns of an internal affair that was going on right in his own family. He finds out that his mom is having an affair with a man named Jeff Cummings. Now, Jeff Cummings was married to Tanya Singleton, who is Aaron's aunt.
This is some Hamlet shit right here.
It is. Yeah. It's crazy. This is absolutely crazy. Okay. That's the other thing too. In so much of my research, a lot of people don't bring up Tanya Singleton. She's brought up because she's going to come up later in the case, but mm-hmm. it's so interesting because that I found like some of this history and backstory on her, because it's very, very interesting how Tanya just, it's, we learn how much of a huge part of Aaron's life that she was. All these pockets of secret lives like that yeah. Aaron was living. Okay. Mm-hmm. And like Tanya Singleton, his aunt, is one of them. So he finds out about this affair. He becomes estranged from his mother because of it. And so he moves in with Tanya Singleton, whose husband is having the affair with Aaron's mother, right? He's not handling this well either. This is where the rage starts too, according to his aunt and mm-hmm. his friends. He just starts to get mad all the time. He's 17 years old and his friends are noticing that he's always angry and like always wanting to start fights with people for no reason. Okay. So mind you that these little anger outbursts are already happening at an early age. Okay.
And it doesn't support at all what he goes on to do, but this is a pretty fucked up teenage
totally
experience.
Yeah. To really, lose your father completely unexpectedly, which is so tragic, even if their relationship was complicated. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, to have your uncle mom's now in bed with your mom. It's just,
that's after being molested as a kid, after, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot for some, yeah. That's a lot for a 40-year-old to deal yeah. with,
And then on top of it, uncle moves in with Terry.
Yeah, that's
Hernandez.
That's so tough.
It's like the rage just, exactly. He just keeps getting more angry and more angry. Aaron would later reveal in jailhouse conversations that he had a lot of resentment towards his mother, which he seems to carry for the rest of his life, honestly, over her affair, for the abuse in his childhood, and for not helping him to get his medications in school, which, okay, like, that's, why is that your mom's fault? That doesn't really make sense to me. But like, he blamed her for not getting him on Adderall because he apparently needed it for school and was diagnosed. And she, for whatever reason, he felt that it was her fault that she didn't get him on the medicine. I don't know. he told her that there were things about him that she would never even get to know, like, because he would never, he was so, had been so mad at her that he never got the chance to tell her even things about himself. His own mother would never even know about him. I found that to be very sad.
Yeah, that is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron goes to Bristol Central High School, and then this is where his football career really starts to take flight. He becomes a skilled athlete in multiple sports, including basketball, track, and especially football. That's where he really excels and also gravitates towards. Like, he just loved it. He loved the game. His aunt thought it was so good for him too, because she felt like it was good for his anger, like that it would be good to for him to get his anger out. He's accomplishing a ton in football. In high school already. He already starts winning awards. I did read a lot into his stats. However, I'm not going to go into deep detail about his stats and shit, because I just don't feel that it is relative to the story. No. And I don't want to discredit the athletic accomplishments that this guy made. Okay. Because he was a freaking legend. He was, quite honestly, he was maybe one of the great.
It's like OJ Simpson.
That we've ever seen. Around 2006, he's become really accomplished on the field, and he actually suffers a severe injury when he has a blindside tackle and gets rushed to the ER. This is to give you an idea that the head injuries also were already starting at a very early age. So yeah, keep that in mind. This one too, he like woke up and he like didn't have recollection of where he was. He didn't know he was in a game that day. He like, it was like bad. Keep in mind too, that high school is also where Aaron meets Shayana Jenkins. Okay. Mm-hmm. The two begin dating, and they're in an on and again, off again relationship through high school. During this time, he's also starts partying a lot in high school. He drinks, he goes to parties a lot. He partakes in marijuana.
Super popular, now, right? Like, yeah. He's also very like,
social.
He's a shithouse. He's a huge dude. He's wicked good at football. He's like, people really like him.
He's doing really good in every area of high school, except for actually academically. Academically, he's like really not doing so hot. But yes, exactly. He's popular. He's got things going for him. He's got the girlfriend. Originally, he was going to go to college with his brother DJ at the University of Connecticut. But he gets all these outside influences, right? Because he's already so good and people are watching him and he's being seen, including the head coach of the University of Florida football team, Urban Meyer. He flies to Connecticut just so he can convince Aaron to join the football team. He even convinces Aaron's principal at the school to let him graduate early under the affirmation that Aaron was destined to be in the NFL. Later, the principal says in a quote that he, looking back, like Aaron should not have graduated and he should not have let him graduate. And in fact, Boston Globe released a quote that said like he was in no way ready to graduate. He shouldn't have graduated. They did it all because of like birds in their ear telling them that Aaron was going to be famous. And that's why they did it.
I've never heard of this before. He was completely
exploited. 100%.
100%.
Like, he's still a kid.
And he had attitude and maturity issues as well.
And he said he was basically failing.
He was making D's in a couple classes. Like, he was not academically doing well by any means. And he had attitude problems. He was getting into arguments and fights with people all the time. Sure enough, it happens. And he gets sent out to Florida and is already like preparing drills, meeting the team, getting set up in Florida all shortly after his 17th birthday. So
I'm assuming they got like they would have to have gotten permission from Terry, right? His mother, so, like legally.
Yeah, they did. And they did. And she did. I also don't want to say that he wasn't a good person completely either, because I don't know him. I feel so bad for Shayana Jenkins, because I feel like she just has spent her whole life like trying to like defend someone that she truly feels in her heart was a decent person. And so I don't know. Yeah. Also, like when he said earlier, a little note of that too. Again, he was very popular, but also he loved being the center of attention. He would go to parties and like always trying to be the center of attention, always yelling, shouting, wanting to be in the center of the room, making some joke or being like making everybody stare at him. Things were continuing to take off for him in his college career, but Myers, his coach, is starting to tell that things are off with his mood as well, just like his coach was in high school as well, noticing that he is suffering from drug abuse, chronic marijuana use, but they noticed that he's using other drugs as well.
But yet no one is sending him for therapy or help in any way.
Right. Or barely even saying anything to him, quite frankly.
Sure.
Myers,
no counseling.
Myers is like, he says, oh, Aaron, I'm not going to have you come back for a third season if you don't shape up. Well, Aaron like literally convinces him to change his mind and he lets him come back for a third season. Well, then the fourth season comes around and finally coach is so fed up with it that he's like, no, you're not coming back. Like you need to either get drafted or you need to just call it quits because you're not coming back here. Mm-hmm. He got so fed up with him. One of the reasons for that is because in 2007, there's three kids driving in a car. They stop at a stoplight, Quinnies, and two of them get shot. One of them gets shot in the back of the head and one of them gets shot in the arm. Okay. This happens in Gainesville, Florida. There were four football players that were questioned over it. One of them just happened to be a freshman tight end, Aaron Hernandez. They want to question him. It's first of all, the coaches like took 4 hours for Aaron to show up. They question him. It's very weird. They don't get anything useful out of him. They let it go. Let the kids go. Nothing happens.
Hmm. Okay. It seems like he is learning that he can get away with
100%.
Nobody is, there's no guardrails. There's nobody is saying you've gone too far. There's no real consequence. And his father had such a heavy hand with him, probably too heavy of a hand with him, that now that his father is gone, no one is reining him in. No one is telling him, mm-hmm. hey, Aaron, you can't just do these things. And he's getting positive validation from everyone, even when he's fucking up.
Yeah, like 100%. Not even no consequences. He's getting rewards, essentially.
Yeah.
You're exactly right, Quinny, because another incident as well happened in 2007 as well. So he's around the same age, around 17, 18, right? And he also was in a Gainesville bar and he refused to pay a bill, walks out of the bar. The bouncer goes to chase him out of the bar. Aaron turns around and punches him so hard. And just remember what Quinny said earlier, this is a really big guy. We're talking about over 200 pounds, okay? Punches the bouncer in the side of the head and bursts his eardrum. Now, what ends up happening? They end up like solving it internally, okay, and no legal action. No legal action happens. The guy doesn't press charges. Exactly. So just what Quinny says, these are two incidents where you already see that Aaron is involved directly with a serious crime,
violence,
and he's gotten away with it. The coach Meyer, he finally gets fed up and he says, you're not coming back for the fourth year. You need to try to get drafted. Now, this isn't to say that Myers didn't have faith in him. Myers knew he was a good player. He just said, Aaron, if you don't work on this attitude and these problems that you have, you're going to run into issues. And again, this is another person that tried so hard to help Aaron. He really did. He tried for a lot of years to help this kid.
Yeah, but like in the meantime, he's literally telling him, hey, you're fucking up and I don't want you here, but like, go ahead and get drafted to the big league.
Yep, because it's politics of football. And that comes into play here because matter what, there were so many people saying this kid shouldn't be playing, but people just wanted him because he was fucking good, Quinnies. Also, shout out to the Murder in Sports podcast that I listen to. I believe that's what it's called, Murder in Sports. Okay, these guys are so cool, first of all. Like, love them. And shout out to them because one of the greatest points that they made when I listened to them about their coverings of Aaron Hernandez is when they talked about like him going home, which is what we're going to get into with New England, like him going home and being back with these people, like hanging out with the wrong crowd only made things worse for him too. He was already an angry kid. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's already an angry kid. So what is about to happen is only going to make shit worse. So January 6th of 2010, Aaron announces that he's going to forgo his senior year of college and that he's going to be entering the NFL draft. In the 2010 NFL draft, the New England Patriots select Aaron in the fourth round of the draft. He was 113th overall, Quinnies, 113. There were a lot of other teams that were talked out of drafting Aaron due to his problematic behavior. So his attitude problems, his beef with fellow team members, his selfishness. The Patriots end up signing Aaron to a contract. This contract ends up being a $40 million contract total, I find out. But really the only people that end up losing out on that are the New England Patriots. More football stats go here. This is where all the football stats go. He starts killing it. Aaron starts killing it, to say the least.
Killing it.
And the same time that they drafted him, they also draft Gronkowski. And the two of them really, really bring it home for the New England Patriots. This is a great couple years for them when they had Hernandez and Gronkowski on the team. I remember those years. I watched them play. I thought with him and Edelman and Hernandez on the team, like they were just the dream team, let alone have Brady. We were like, we had it made, man. Team members from New England Patriots, once again, claiming weird things, noticing mood swings of Aaron, noticing that he has anger issues, noticing that he makes comments about being gay or homosexuality, and like not just making comments about them, but also like hating on them as well. Even going as far as telling one football player like that he had these feelings, but that they made him physically sick that he had these feelings. A lot of this talk came out with a lot of these team members, and a lot of them just didn't know how to feel about it. And also the NFL really likes to not talk about that. Like homosexuality isn't a thing really in the NFL. And this might be a controversial issue for us to talk about, but unfortunately it's really the truth. Now this is when some major criminal activity starts to happen over the next couple of years throughout Aaron's life, right? He's starting to be successful. He's starting to be wealthy. 2007 already, we have had these two incidents that I already mentioned, the one where he punched the bouncer, as well as these kids that get shot. In 2011, there is an incident where he gets pulled over in Plainville outside of a club, and he gets out of it because he's recognized by a police officer.
There's no consequence for Aaron.
In 2012, in Boston, there's a double homicide. It's on July 16th of 2012. Daniel Correa de Abreu, who was 29, and Safiro Furtado were killed by a drive-by shooting where a witness saw a silver SUV pull up alongside of them at the traffic light. Also, does this sound familiar, Quinnies? Silver SUV pulls up, fires shots, apparently five shots at the car while stopped at a traffic light. The witnesses end up being the ones who call 911. Now we're going to get back to this in a little bit. Around 2012 is when Shyana Jenkins and Aaron get engaged. And then shortly after they have a baby and then they buy a house. It's a beautiful house, very expensive house. During this time also is when Aaron meets Odin Lloyd for the first time. Shyana has a sister. Her name is Shania, and she has a boyfriend named Odin Lloyd. Shania Jenkins obviously comes over to her sister's all the time, and she brings her boyfriend over with her, Odin. Odin is 27 years old. He meets Aaron, and they become friends. They had a lot in common. He played semi-professional football. Aaron's playing professional football. Love to talk about football together. They partied together. Odin hooks Aaron up with a guy who sells pot. And their friendship continues the next couple of years. You see the four of them hanging out. They also see them on footage of Aaron's cameras, which they end up confiscating later, which we'll get to. They see that these two couples, the sisters and the soon-to-be brother-in-laws, right, spend time together.
Yeah, it's normal.
2013, Aaron has a traffic stop with Alexander Bradley, one of his friends. They get pulled over. Alexander Bradley was driving. He'd been drinking. Aaron tries to pull his usual, oh, I'm Aaron Hernandez card, right? The cops are like, yeah, you're funny. That's not going to work. Alexander Bradley goes to jail. He gets arrested and goes to jail, gets arrested for a DUI. Okay. I think Alexander Bradley in turn at the end had like three DUIs. So at the same time in that 2013 traffic stop, okay, Quinny's, Aaron and Alexander Bradley are on a trip in Florida together with a couple other guys. They're going out, they're living life, they're living it up, right? Professional football players spending thousands of dollars. In fact, I think they dropped 10 G's at one nightclub that night, right? So they're living it up.
Can you imagine, Quinny's, at one club? I would be like, I would be so impressed if the three of us could spend like $500 at the club.
Exactly.
Seriously, exactly. We would be dead.
I'd be buying all the food.
We'd be in the hospital. Yeah.
Apparently, according to police, they find Bradley the next day. Okay. And he's shot in the face, laying in the street, half dead. Okay, he's like almost dead. Pick him up, bring him to the ER. He's in the ER. He gets total reconstructive surgery. They had to remove his eye, Vinny's. Okay, it shot through the top of his like one eye, through his nose, and through the other eye, which is just like crazy. But they save his one eye. They take his other eye out. He's in the hospital. Cops come in. Okay, Bradley, we need you to tell us who shot you. And he's like, I can't tell you. Like, with all due respect, bro. He's like, I can't tell you, right? He won't tell the cops who it is. Okay. This was so strange to me in the beginning of my research. Like, so strange to me. And we're going to talk about this later in final thoughts. So curious what you Quinnies think. Mind you, the cops know in their head that he was with Aaron the night before, but they haven't put all of these things together yet fully. Okay. They know that he was there. Bradley tells them nothing. So they got nothing. They got nothing to go on. In 2013, Aaron has to go to California to get a surgery on his shoulder. He takes Shayana with him and the baby, and they go on a trip. And apparently on this California trip, while Aaron's supposed to be getting shoulder surgery, there are three calls made to 911 by Shayana Jenkins. Okay, she calls three times saying that Aaron is drunk, belligerent, and violent.
Oh, Jason.
So this is 2013 on June 17th. The police find the body of Odin Lloyd. He was shot dead about only a mile away from Aaron Hernandez's home. They search Odin Lloyd's body. It's one of the very first things that they do. In his pocket, they find a pair of keys. A pair of keys are registered to, I believe, an Enterprise rent-a-car. Get a hold of the rent-a-car's place, and they find out that the car is registered to Aaron Hernandez.
I mean, this is like them using the deceased Charles Ballow's car to do a drive-by shoot. You know what I mean? Like, my God.
So right away, their first initial thought is, oh, big American famous football player. Oh my gosh, he must be in danger. Something must be wrong. So they go to Aaron's house. They go right over to Aaron's house. He answers the door acting real douchey, like just being a straight asshole. Like, why are you here? What do you want? Why are you asking me all these questions? They're like, dude, we don't know why you're getting defensive. We're just wondering, like, what's going on? He acts really weird. He's like, I'm not going to talk to you. Closes the door on the cop's face. They go back to this crime scene. They're collecting all the evidence, right? They find a shit ton of it. They find a towel, a white towel at the scene. They find a half-smoked joint at the scene. They find a shell casing later that was wrapped in a piece of paper wrapped in a piece of blue bubble gum. That day, they get a call from Aaron, and Aaron says, okay, I'll come down to this station, but I'm going to bring my lawyer with me. Okay, so Shayana brings him down to the station, and that's funny too. Shayana brings him down to the station, then she's like, all right, I'm just going to peace out. She thinks she's going to peace out. The cops like immediately pull her over, and they're like, oh no, we needed you to stay at the station. Like, we want to ask you questions. Like, and she's like, why? What's wrong? And then they tell her Odin's dead, and she has this very strange reaction, according to the cops, and says, oh, Odin is Aaron's drug dealer, and my sister boyfriend. That's what she tells the cops. Aaron rolls up with his lawyer. Aaron rolls up into the parking lot and is caught on surveillance. He's sitting in the passenger seat of his lawyer's car, babies. He's got two phones in his lap. He has the batteries taken out of one of the phones while he's on the other phone, talking on the other phone, frantically like shuffling through the other phone, trying to dispose of the battery that was in the other cell phone.
Meanwhile, his lawyer is just like blindfolded with earplugs in, just like, I'm not looking.
The next couple days, they search Aaron's house. They find that his security cameras had been tampered with, and they found smashed phones. A video also gets released on June 21st of 2013 to the media of Odin Lloyd and Aaron Hernandez actually together the night that Odin was murdered. So they see him in the car with Odin in the back seat with two other males. So four of them total together in a silver car. Now the car had already been returned to the rent place, right? Well, homegirl that cleans the car out is the one that finds the piece of trash containing the bubble gum. Okay. So she calls the police and she says, hey, I found this shit in the car when I was cleaning it out. And now that I see he's being investigated in a murder, I realize that maybe this would be important. I threw this shit in a dumpster.
Okay. Thank you. Final rental car person. Yes.
Finally. Okay. Yes.
Fucking yes. Jody Arias,
yes.
Casey Anthony, like yes. When you see this shit in the car, let's make a phone call. All right,
for real, this girl was smart as shit, and exactly. Shout out to this girl because she knew. She tells them the exact dumpster, and sure enough, after like 15 minutes of digging, they find a piece of crumbled up paper that was like a child's drawing. Okay, and inside was a shell casing. One of the shell casings, that exact shell casings that matched the bullet shots. Okay. Okay. And it's covered in blue bubblegum. Whose DNA do you think is all over the bubblegum? Aaron Hernandez. Who's caught on surveillance camera actually buying the blue bubblegum with Odin prior to him being killed. Okay. He bought the exact pack of blue bubble gum on camera. Obviously, the Patriots kick him off the team. June 26, 2013, Aaron is arrested at his home for the murder of Odin Lloyd. They come straight to his house and pick him up. He didn't even have a shirt on. They actually had to put a shirt on over him with the handcuffs on because he didn't even have a shirt on.
Oh my God. Okay. So the fans doing that with the shirt.
Yeah. Please, there are whole subsets of people on the internet who love him, adore him.
Oh yeah.
Who continue to this day to praise him and think
declare his innocence. I mean, Jose Baez is kind of one of those people. Also, we are going to get on him, but I just love him so much, Brittany's. I can't even help it. I love him. Okay.
Anyway, I just can't with the fans like doing it. Like he's arrested for murder. Straight up. Murder. Okay. Murder. And you're like, let's just do this TikTok challenge really quick and just, you know,
that I'm would be you. Like people putting a cast on their arm and being like, can you get this boat off the top of my car? Like in support of Ted Bundy. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? Yes. Like, this person is clear. Like, they took someone's life here.
Well, it's like 100%. When there's like, oh, I wish Ted Bundy would murder me. So hot, whatever, whatever.
That's a huge piece of this too. Women it love is. Them some Aaron Hernandez. They
do. Okay, they not, do. Not, oh.
Not me, no. Not me either.
Even before.
No, you so, lost me at the I whole murder like thing.
No, I you did lost like him,
me at the murder.
You lost me at the murder.
You lost me there. Yeah.
Well, at first I really wanted to believe that he didn't do it, but then you just there's no getting around it, Vinny. No. There's no getting around it. The Patriots file mad shit to try to get the money back, right? Because now that he had already had this contract, some stipulations came because he didn't complete his fourth year of the contract. But I'm going to tell you right now, the New England Patriots lost a lot of money. The media is going in a frenzy over this, right? Because Aaron has, they were already talking about it before he got arrested, that he was a suspect. It's already been all over the news. Okay. People have been watching his house, waiting. The media has been waiting like the freaking nutcases that they are. The two investigators from the 2012 Boston homicide are watching this news unfold. And for one of them, something clicks. Okay. And he's like, we have to go back to the club surveillance from 2012 Boston shooting. So they do. They go back to the surveillance of the two guys that I had mentioned before in Boston, to Daniel Correa Abreu and Safiro Furtado, the two men that were shot in their car. They go back to this video footage surveillance. They see the two men enter the club. Shortly after, about 15 minutes, they see Aaron Hernandez and Alexander Bradley enter the same exact club. They then see the two men leave the club. Shortly after, Aaron and Bradley leave. Surveillance catches Bradley and Aaron walking down the sidewalk. You can't hear them, obviously, but you can see them. You see what they're wearing, exactly what they're wearing. And you see Aaron like in a tiff, like he's obviously heated. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely see that Alexander is really trying to like just kind of talk him down. They're obviously having this struggle, this conflict, and they're talking and they're kind of going wobbling all over the place, right? And surveillance, they keep following the surveillance. Surveillance watches them go into the car garage. They get into a car. The car pulls out. What kind of car is it, Binnie's? It's a silver SUV. It has Long Island license plates, exactly what the witnesses had claimed the license plates were. The silver SUV proceeds to drive around the block and stalk the two men. The two men are standing outside of the club on the sidewalk, and you see the Toyota 4Runner or whatever it is drive around like three or four times around the block. This is on surveillance, and slowly with the brake lights on, driving by like a stalker stalking these two men. The detectives decide to go to Tanya Singleton's house, right? They want to scope it out. They want to ask her questions. They want to scope the house out. They go there. They open the garage. What's in the garage? The silver Toyota. What kind of plates does it have on it? Long Island plates. When they run the plates, whose car is the name in? Aaron Hernandez.
What?
They ask Tanya, whose car is this? Tanya says, oh, it's mine. They're like, okay, can we go out there and look at it? They go out there and look at it. It hasn't been driven. There's cobwebs all over the tires. So it's just been sitting in the garage. They open it up. It's been pristinely cleaned. After Aaron has been arrested, weird things immediately start to happen on the inside. Guards make reports of Aaron doing really weird things. Like already they found a shank in his bed, in his mattress. Okay. So he's already got weapons on the inside. This is early on. This is a couple weeks while he's been on the inside. They're already having trouble with him. His first trial happens on April 15th of 2015. He's found guilty of murder in the first degree of Odin Lloyd almost immediately. The trial was, it took a long time to display all of the evidence. The joint had Aaron's DNA on it. They had found the gum that had his DNA on it. They found all of this video surveillance that proved that he was with him all the way up until the hours leading until the murder. He was found a mile from their house, right? So the evidence is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It does not take the jury long to find him guilty. Now, Ernest Wallace and Carlos Ortiz were the other two men that were with Aaron during this. They also were charged. At first, they are charged with accessory to murder. The charges later come to actual murder, which later end up being dropped for both of the other men. But they were there, and they do actually end up testifying against Aaron in order to receive immunity. That is a little weird to me, because it does always make me just think how much of the truth is actually being told when you are going to get off. Also, the gun that was used ended up being one of the other men's.
But it
ended
up belonging. Aaron.
It was definitely Aaron that was the trigger man, yes. But one of the gun that actually was used in the thing ended up belonging to another one of the men. So I just think that it's like a very much one of those cases where they all turn on each other. Like, I think that all of them were very guilty in this.
Right.
Going back home and being back with those kids that he shouldn't have gotten involved with is where things
really. And they're hanging off of him because he's a rich, you know, super athlete.
100%.
You know,
absolutely. Who knows what they're trying to do if they're trying to blackmail? And that happens to seems to happen to him quite a few times. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Only a few days after he is fucking put away for life imprisonment, because mind you too, Massachusetts, when you are charged with first degree murder, the only acceptable punishment is life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. This is a Massachusetts law. He literally gets the sentence, and only a few days later, the charge for the 2012 double shooting comes out against him. Immediately, he knows that having used the local lawyers for his first trial, that he severely lost. Really not, I don't think it had anything to do with the lawyers. I just think it had to do with the overwhelming evidence. Aaron feels in his heart and in his head that he needs to get a good lawyer this time. Like, he needs to have someone better. So he hires no other than Jose Baez for his second trial, who is, if we all know, became a world-renowned famous lawyer for his case covering Casey Anthony, where he got her off for the murder of her daughter. Which I still think she did it.
Absolutely.
But still, Jose Baez is the good fucking lawyer. Dude. He's fucking really good. And there's no denying it. And he literally blows me away. And I just love what an underdog he is. And how he just all the way from the bottom came to the top. Like, it's just his story is so amazing. Second trial comes around. Now, mind you, now these are a lot of chunks of time that are going in between us. Okay, this is, first trial is 2015. Second trial isn't until 2017. Aaron's on the inside all of this time. There are things that happen while he's inside. Exactly what I told you. He has anger issues. He's getting in trouble a lot on the inside, okay? He's having constant recorded conversations with Shayana over the phone.
Yeah.
A lot of them I listen to. They're very sad.
But doesn't she also say that, like, while he was getting in trouble and, like, picking fights and, like, dealing all this, like, he was actually the least stressed he'd ever been?
Yeah, so there are witness accounts, some people that were on the inside with him as well, that actually say that he thrived in prison. And that he actually did well in it overall.
Consequences.
Yeah.
But it's still showing.
It's like living with his father, like keeping him in line.
But his anger was never really under control.
Like, because he still hasn't gotten mental, you know, help and also treatment or anything.
So many witness accounts, including family accounts, his aunt and his mother included in that, of his paranoia too. Mm-hmm. So the paranoia after the stuff that happened in 2007 with the Florida shit, okay, is when his paranoia had really begun. So even not only was that anger there at an early age, the paranoia was there too. Alexander Bradley recalls so many times of Aaron thinking that people were watching him, following him. He had to always be in cars with tinted windows because he didn't want to be seen. I mean, this was a constant reoccurring thing. A number of witness accounts that claim that the paranoia was off the chain. So the second trial comes up for this double murder. And like I said, Aaron Hand hires Jose Baez. The second trial, they try to really just paint a picture of Aaron as like a straight villain. He's a bad guy. They literally go for 2 days of the trial for 48 hours. They literally go with the whole look at his tattoos, read his tattoos. This is what makes him a murderer. And Jose is like, okay, that you're not going to succeed with this. Like that's like the tattoos aren't going to get you anywhere. Prosecution tries that. They also try to use Alexander Bradley. This prosecution brings in Alexander Bradley, who is their most crucial and only lead really in this case, is the account of Alexander Bradley. Bradley explains to them that him and Aaron go to this club Cure, and Aaron becomes drunk and paranoid over these two men staring at him. Bradley proceeds to tell him that, oh, it could be because maybe they're investigating us, right? And Aaron gets freaked out. According to Bradley, a drink gets spilled on Aaron in the club, and this sets him off, and he wants to then hurt the people that spilled the drink on him. So this is where that surveillance video comes into play, where I told you, Quinnies, we see them get into the car. Then these guys end up dead, okay? Bradley claims that Aaron had him pull up to the stoplight, reached across Bradley, who claims he was driving, reach across Bradley and shoot the two men. That's according to Bradley. And then Aaron has Bradley speed off. It's so weird to me because when you see the SUV pull out, like I thought that Aaron was driving. So I'm really confused about that whole situation. Jose Baez shuts all of this shit down. He's like, nope, Alexander Bradley, you're a criminal. You're a convicted criminal. We cannot believe anything that you say. He totally turns it around that Bradley was the one that really wanted to kill these men and not Aaron. And that it was actually Bradley that had the beef with these guys and not Aaron. He shows to the jury that there is tampered evidence by the police, because when the two men were shot, they put sheets over their bodies. Not only did they do that, but then they towed the truck with the bodies in the car, which is something they don't, this is not a thing that they do. This is not procedure. Put it onto a tow truck and tow it away, Quinnies. When they were initially investigating it, they saw Aaron on that surveillance camera, but they were like, oh, whatever. They just disregarded it. He was just there. It was just a coincidence. It's a gang-related crime. So these are two Black guys that are in a gang. Okay. So it's just gang-related. Let's put sheets over it, drag the whole car and investigate it that way because it's gang-related. That's where Baez really got them. Because of all of this tampering with that case, that really made the jury have reasonable doubt that the crime scene was not legit. Thousands of text messages get released through the trial as well between Aaron and Alexander. Baez also proved that it really seemed more like Alexander Bradley was trying to get compensation and money off of Aaron. But I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, good job, Jose Baez, for yes, distracting them from that like really Bradley was just looking for like compensation and money. But like, yo, he shot him in the face. I'd be wanting money too. I don't know. There's definitely some sketch exchanges that go between Alexander Bradley and Aaron. And yeah. I don't want to say that Alexander Bradley is completely innocent by any means, but I got to say, Benice, I fucking believe this cat, Benice. I believe him. Aaron gets off with this second trial. Jose Baez wins this trial, and Aaron is acquitted from these two murders. And then only 3 days after he was acquitted of the second murder, Aaron was found dead, hanging in his cell at the Saza Baranowski Correctional Center. Sometime after 3 a.m., he was found by a guard. He had John 3:16 written in blood on his forehead. There was a Bible open with a drop of blood on the Bible verse 3:16. And John 3:16 was also written on the wall.
Okay, so John 3:16, I Googled it and it was like,
for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's what it is.
Sorry, really Jose, quick. It's definitely confirmed that they knew from the get-go that it was suicide.
Yeah. Like,
this isn't an Epstein situation.
Some people questioned it. There's always people that questioned it. But yeah, he had written suicide notes. He wrote a suicide note to Shayana. He wrote a suicide note to his family. But Jose Baez does all this research and he's like, we got to get this kid's brain scanned. Jose knew from the from when he first signed on with him from the first trial, he knew that something was really wrong with Aaron. Aaron had had multiple outbursts in front of Jose. Jose knew that he had issues. Gets his brain examined. They find out he has severe CTE.
Chronic traumatic encephalopathy caused by repeated blows to the head and repeated episodes of concussion.
Yeah, encephalopathy. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy, crazy, crazy brain damage. Like, worse than like, yeah, it's just being it's hit bad. Repeatedly. They have literal holes through their brain. Like, it's absolutely insane. And also the brain shrinks. So it's like three times smaller than an average brain.
Oh my God.
And one of the number one side effects is suicide. In fact, after his death, Jose does a lot of work fighting for him to get his like charges dropped. Jose actually got him granted, and he basically is not technically a convicted murderer. He is no longer considered like a convicted murderer.
That's insane. I have so many thoughts.
The homosexuality and the gay comes into play too a little bit. One of his friends does come out after he's dead. I don't know. This pisses me off a little bit too about everybody coming out after he's dead. Like, I just think that it's so annoying that like people say all of these things for people after they're dead because the person doesn't get to speak for themselves.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But the friend comes out and claims that him and Aaron had sexual relations like when they were boys, and that Aaron was always struggling with his sexuality. Apparently one of his girlfriends from college also came out and claimed that she knew of this and that Aaron had shared his confusion with her through letters. And apparently she has those letters that say that he does say that. Shayana says that she was never told this. Aaron never shared this with her. And in fact, she gets really emotional anytime somebody talks about it. It seems like she doesn't really believe it. Like, she doesn't think that it's true.
I mean, I believe the guy who came out and said it, because even though you said like, you know, these people coming out after they're dead, they can't speak for themselves. So like, but the guy who came out, like in the Netflix documentary that did it, when he's like talking about it, his father is with him. And his father was very like, at the time, like, anti-gay, homophobic, like just like Aaron Hernandez's father seemed to be. So like, if it wasn't true, why would he have risked all of that to come out and say that?
Right.
And then the father later says, like, I'm sorry that you probably went through hell at the time, knowing how I felt at the time about it. Like, they're fine now, but
for sure.
Otherwise, like, why, you know, what would he, you know, why would it become true, you know, come forward with it if it wasn't the case?
Yeah, I do believe him. I really do. I just think that it is a little bit outlandish to say too much about a person when they can't speak for themselves, about their own personal shit. Like, but I guess
also he's a murderer. Personal, like, it's also his it doesn't bother me.
It's also his personal shit too, because he had sex with him. So it's but yeah, there was never a clear motive either that ever came out for Odin. They still to this day have never found the motive. Some people say that it was because they think that Aaron thinks that he knew that he was gay. Some people think that it has to do with a drug deal or marijuana. It's like, there's never been a clear motive. Really, honestly, I feel like we don't need that with Aaron. I feel like.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, Quinny. Like, we don't even need one. He just would flap the handle on anything.
And kept thinking he could get away with it. And then becoming a famous New England Patriot only made his head that much freaking bigger.
But what really gets me is Cheyenne and Shania. That whole, not even a triangle, just like the whole situation where the two sisters and they're dating the two guys who are in, you know, one's professional, one's semi-professional, whatever, but they're still like in the football world. Okay. And granted, like, they obviously knew Aaron from the get. So like, they'd known him for a long, long, long time. But the fact that Cheyenne backs Aaron so, like, I don't even have the words. Like, I understand that's her guy, that's her fiance, it's the father of her child, but she, even after like the overwhelming evidence is out there, and just she is now being in the hot seat because of like her text messages with him and her on the surveillance camera at their house, like
removing
the box with the gun.
I think she's lying about that too. I don't think she's being honest about that. You ain't gonna look in the box.
You cannot tell me that she was not an accessory in some way, for sure. Okay. Granted, do I want their child to have absolutely no parents? No, I wouldn't love that for anybody, but
she's completely complicit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 100%.
But then to be against her own sister at the same moment, because it's her sister's boyfriend who's the victim.
Right.
One thing to back your murdering fiance.
And she's playing like two ways too, because you see after he dies, you see the sister come over and like Shayana being so supportive and like hugging her. And then all of a sudden that all changed in the fucking courtroom.
Yeah. She's like, oh, we're estranged. We've never been close ever.
Then the other murder, the double one, they found that gun too. You know where they found that gun? In a random girl's car who just happened to have like a traffic accident, like she got rear-ended. Cop searches her car, finds a gun in the trunk, Quinnies, okay? Mm-hmm. Checks the gun. It's registered to Alexander, what's his name?
Bradley.
And he was staying with who of all people at the time? Guess who? Tanya Singleton.
I guess.
He was staying
in
her house.
He was also complicit in this.
Yeah.
In all 100. The shit.
Oh,
in all of it.
I mean, the fact that she
was hiding that
went
car,
to jail. Is. She went to jail for contempt for not talking about the fact that she had the car and answering any questions while she's undergoing cancer treatment. These people so staunchly, stubbornly backing him. It's just something is weird. Like, is it really that they're so close to him that they're so loyal? Or is this all or mostly because of the money behind? You know what I mean? Like, they want to keep him in good grace. They want to be in his good graces because they want his money, essentially. Yes. When he's obviously like, it's insane. People are dead.
Yeah, he still remained a suspect for that Gainesville investigation as well for years and years and years. I think up until like around circa 2012, when the kid that claimed it was Aaron Hernandez just recanted his statement. Why? Mm-hmm. Why would he just recant his statement like that? Exactly. Unless he probably got paid off, Quinnies.
Yeah.
Like it is. It's like there is like a lot of. And I can see where the Alexander shit, like.
He got shot in the face.
He got shot in the face by Aaron. Dude. He literally fell asleep and woke up to Aaron with a gun in his face. And he shot him in the face and pushed him out the car and left him to die.
Quinnies, I love you both. I love you both very much. Even if you just were, somehow you tripped and fell and the gun went off. Somehow and shot me in the face, I still would be pretty fucking pissed. And I don't know that I'd be able to salvage our relationship. I'm not sure.
No.
Like,
probably not.
If I lost an eye, even if it was a perfect accident, I just don't know if it would take me a long time, if any. I mean,
right. What my
it's lost all an about, eye. It's, just, you know? It's all about the money here. Everybody in here is all about the money. It's all about the money. Jose Baez is a terrific attorney
and
very, very good at what he does. But he's also made a career out of being like a contrarian.
Yeah.
And like the people that you think are guilty, I'm going to get them out on a technicality. And I just don't have a whole lot of respect for getting that posthumous conviction thrown out because there are so many people out there who actually need good attorneys and we don't need to be doing any favors for Aaron Hernandez because Henry Lee Lucas had brain damage. There are tons of serial killers, sexually abused as kids, traumatic brain injuries, Andre Chikatilo, Henry Lee Lucas, all of these guys, you see it over and over again. And that is not an excuse for them not to be guilty of murder.
No, exactly. I think that Jose truly believes in his innocence. I really do. I think that he and himself truly personally believes that he was not the trigger man.
Well, I truly hope that he is more intelligent than that belief.
Right.
I really, really do. There's no way that this many people die from random gunplay around Aaron Hernandez, who Jose Baez himself is conceding has no impulse control, has brain injuries, is violent. Like, it's just not, it's not possible.
It's like the brain injuries are obviously a huge part, right? And like in general, a lot of football players have them because of like all the concussions, you know, it's a problem. It's a huge problem. But even if you take that out of the equation here, he still has all the other markings where he was probably likely to be a murderer anyway.
He was there. At every, like in every turn, he's there. Yes, like the exactly. one constant is Aaron Hernandez. Also, he doesn't end up shot.
Nope.
Ever. Because he's always the one with the gun in his hand.
Right.
Like he is, it's every time. It's like you hear these stories of people being like, and then this set him off, and then this set him off. The slightest, smallest things were setting him off. Like it just in his everyday behavior.
Yep.
It's just, it's too, I mean, I think there's something to be said for the concussions. I think like it doesn't get taken seriously, Quinny. I think you're absolutely right about that. Like it's a real legitimate issue that's perpetuated by professional football.
Yeah.
That is not like, it's not taken seriously enough. And homophobia is responsible for more violence in this country than maybe anything else. Honestly, like just the belief that like you just from day one are different and don't belong is so destructive and terrible. Yeah. And like, you know, that then like we happen to be three straight women, right? Mm-hmm. But like, if we were told our whole lives that the worst possible thing that you could be is gay, then every time we saw another woman and thought she was beautiful, we would be hating ourselves.
Right.
Right. And you're going to grow up with that hate. No. And you're going to grow up with that hate living with you, inside of you.
And then if it's coming from a parent, especially, you know, let alone society or a stranger, you know?
And the dad, the sudden death during the hernia procedure. Do you now, I understand this happens, right? Like this happens sometimes, but when you have organ failure like that, or like you die on the table in a fairly routine procedure, I imagine that you can't be in really great health to begin with.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that, like Quinny, how you were talking about like their run-ins with the law, were there drugs in the house? What, like, are drugs being used recreationally that possibly young Aaron could see people having access to, or he's associating that with like a certain level of masculinity?
His dad was involved with some like certain people, like definitely there were definitely, because his dad was kind of the same thing, like hanging out with like professional athletes and kind of had that same kind of, he played sports and he was like really popular. So he had that same kind of sort of life. Yes, exactly. But no, I did not read any exact things about there being like drug use.
But he didn't have the alcohol.
The alcohol, yes.
Right, and there was
a lot of abuse from that, from him getting enraged from the alcohol. And who's to say that that wasn't other drugs too? Because that's the other thing too. I noticed so much. It's like everybody was like marijuana, 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 marijuana. But when I dug further and I did more research, Aaron was on other drugs too. He was doing cocaine a lot, and cocaine. Yeah. A huge side effect of cocaine is the snapping, short attitude, fucking little small things make you mad. Like if you're on a coke binge, like that's a common thing for you to be snapping all the time.
Like just another case where if they had just gotten a little bit of therapy at some point,
who knows?
Maybe it could have been a little different.
Truly, like this shit just repeats over generation to generation. Look at Aaron Hernandez's dad, and then look at Aaron Hernandez himself. Like it's up to you as the individual to break that cycle. You don't have to be just like your parents. You don't have to be like everything you've ever been told. It's just, it's such a sad story. He never had a shot. He never actually had a chance to succeed. Nobody ever, that the kid was exploited from day one for his natural abilities. And he just learned that as long as I continue to perform and make money, the rules don't apply to me. And then as soon as they applied to him, he killed himself.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's horrible. Like that's it's just a huge, a community-wide failure.
And also, you know? we forget he had a brother. Like he had an older brother who was also in the football lifestyle. He's like not mentioned as like they're hanging out, they're close, they're together. They both played football. They both had the same upbringing. They both liked the same sport, you would think. Equals, you know, a semi-close relationship at the least.
Mm-hmm.
But
that coldness, that lack of emotion that Katie's talking about, it's part of being a spectacular athlete, right? Yeah. Is that you can just completely disengage and just complete the task.
Right.
Yeah. Like you're not caught up in the, in the moment or in your own emotions or anything. And it seems like every time he had an emotion, he just got pissed off.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and like it's probably also what made him great. It's so scary to think that you can make eye contact with somebody in a club and end up shot. You know what I mean? Like that one, the double murder especially, is just
that's horribly, horribly tragic. Honestly, one of them was was an immigrant too that had just came over like to this country. They both were like working just like little like part-time shitty jobs, and they were just like these two hardworking men that just were literally innocently killed for no reason.
Yeah. That's horrible. Oh my
God. Love you, Queenies.
Love you.
Love you, Queenies. Bye.
Listen to Straight Up Evil.